reminds me. If you feel that you've got some kind of flu-like symptoms, whether you have the flu or not, that's only determine that by a test. Don't show up here. Try to, and especially with kids and whatever, I mean, just use good sense in that regard. Okay. What's good sense? It is becoming scarce. All right, we conclude the comments. Be sure you're in fellowship. I will too. Proverbs 4:7, again, a verse you can commit to memory. Teach the kids in the prep school. The beginning of wisdom is, for wisdom you can substitute doctrine, divine viewpoint, is acquire wisdom. This is the wisdom that comes down, James says, from above, and not the wisdom that generates from the earth and goes up. This is demonic stuff, and it touches a lot of subjects, people. You want to be free of that. You want to be set free, and you want to stand in the truth in the last days. I don't care if your entire family have gone nuts. You're the last one standing. There's no shame in that. There's glory in that. You do what you got to do. That's where you get strong in the Lord and strong in the truth and are not influenced adversely by people. And you tell people, you can do it in love and kindness. Leave me alone on this. I'm not into this. I don't want to hear about it. I mean, if I could mimic your voice, I'd take your place and I'd do it. I tell them, but I can't. I want to do it for myself. You got to do it for yourself. You got to protect yourself spiritually from people. That doesn't mean you have to hate anybody. You just got to hate what they're doing and how they're acting. And you got to be firm about it. And you got to encourage them to get back where they need to be. What got you where you are today? What got you where you are today? You say, well, God did. Well, of course. But who did He use to get you where you are today? You know, and that is what you need to follow. You've heard all the doctrine. So, if you're the head of a household, you inform your household. I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to serve it in Maranatha Church. And I'd encourage you to do the same thing. As for me and my household, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. So whether it was a husband and wife and two kids and a dog, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do what we got to do. And I don't mean to be, you know, you have to be firm in situations. We're not following those people. We're not following that activity. We're not going there. Yeah, but it's my, I don't care who it is. I don't care what these people are to you. Your loyalty is to God and to submit to the divine institutions and bear up under this. That's what you got to do. You got to stand, and you got to stand firm, and not let people drag you in the wrong way. And I've tried to explain to you what the wrong way is. Always in the acquisition of wisdom, you got to be able to put it into play, and you got to be able to apply it. That's where you get understanding. If you don't have a viable prayer life and a really serious one in these times, you probably aren't going to make it. You probably aren't. If you just que sera, and all the rest of it, you have got to really realize that the forces of darkness are trying to push you down. And they come from unexpected or close associates. You've got to be careful in the last days. Or you'll join so many that came through Maranatha Church and showed all this promise and all this deal, and they're long gone. And they're everywhere. They're scattered everywhere. And all kinds of things. You can't even... you went there? No, that's what blows my mind. You went there. I'd go nowhere. Of course, it would be bad, real bad, not to have God on your side and in your life and the truth and striving forward. But they've gone nuts. Things that they would have never dreamed in a million years that they would have embraced, but they did. When they were at their best, when they were on top of their game. And this applies to everybody here. So you examine yourself and examine your associations. because there can be killers. You can be right in so many ways it isn't funny, but you have this bad association. You got this negative girlfriend on the side. What's that? She didn't want to come to Bible class? You're not you did invite her. You did try to evangelize her, didn't you? I mean, if you didn't even do that, I don't know what. That's all way off deal. And I'm just using male-female. It could work the other way around, too. You better be interested in the truth. I don't want to be tied up with something like that. See? So you can be critical of other people, but you've got this big glaring deal in your own life where you will associate with somebody that's not positive to the truth. I'm all for you to find right man, right woman, even if you only get to have them for 3 years. Because we're going to be out of here. And a lot of people don't even believe that. I don't even know what people believe anymore. Well, I know what some people believe. Observations on the importance of Bible doctrine to the rapture generation. Now, the rapture generation, for those of you who are uninformed, rapture is an event which concludes the church age. I've pointed this out many, many times. We will not go through the tribulation, and we can thank God every day for that. That we do not have to deal with what the human race is going to have to deal with in the day of his wrath, the unprecedented judgments that are coming upon humanity all around the earth. So we will not be here. But there is a generation of people that can say, well, I was in the rapture generation because I was in that generation that was alive when the rapture occurred. Now, people die before the rapture that are in the rapture generation, but the rapture generation is that we are to intensify our intake of Bible doctrine. As you see the day approaching, Hebrews 10:25, I quoted it a million times. And we are to exhort one another, and all the more, as we see the day approaching. Now, I do understand that this had a special application to the Christians to whom this letter was written, who lived in the land of Israel, and who were on the cusp of the fifth cycle of discipline, but they already had doctrine and a provision and an escape route to get out of it. What they were told to do, because you've got to put Scripture together with Scripture to figure stuff out. And so basically, they were told by Jesus in his discourse in Luke 21 that when you see the Roman armies assembling, because it's going to be a big deal when the Romans invade the land. And you will catch wind of the fact that they are that the legions here, under the command of Titus, they're coming. Titus was the Roman general, later became the emperor. It was Vespasian and Titus. And they were coming, and they were coming to Israel, and they were going to ravage the civilization, the population. And we have it on the triumphal arch where all these Jews are bound, and they got the menorah and everything they got out of the temple and so forth and so on. That the Romans are coming. When you see those legions marching up, you pack your bags and you get your U-Haul and you get out of here. You go find somewhere. I mean, the individual believer would just pray, God, where do you want me to go in the Roman world and live? But I'd say, yes, it's a big inconvenience. Talk about believers being inconvenienced. That's inconvenienced. But you're going to be delivered from the Jews that have been persecuting you, and they're going to get it in the neck. And if you stay, you're going to get it and be ravaged by this thing. So it's kind of like get out of America post-salvation Americans after the rapture. The command is you leave the United States of America and you go back to your native homeland. Figure out somewhere to land. Now, talk about an inconvenience. Talk about a pain in the neck. Cut your law. If you want to be in the will of God, exit America after the rapture, because the Russians are coming. And this place is going to go down in 1 hour of one day. It's in all the prophecies that we've looked at. All her cities, I'm going to burn with fire. They're all going to be a holocaust. From New York to LA. From Seattle to Miami. And everything in between is going down. And all this little play acting between the United States and Russia, Trump and Putin, and all this back and forth stuff, it's built into this. They're playing with fire, and the Lord still is over history and controls all this mess. It's coming. It's not very far off. Russia has made a singular comeback from the time of the fall of the Soviet Union and all those that in-between oligarchs and craziness that went on there, and the alcoholic that was running the nation, and then and all the rest, and then Putin comes out of the woodwork. Yeah, I know he was a communist. He was in the communist hierarchy back in the day. But he's come out of that. And Russia has rebuilt its military capacity. It's unreal. I see articles all the time of the latest weaponry. Because God has greased their skids. We build weapons like mad too. But a lot of them are junk. But that doesn't matter. That's all going to be neutralized. And there will be, if any, none or very little retaliation from the United States onto Russia. This country is going down like no other nation in all of human history. Yes, nations have been extinct, made extinct by his wrath. It's in a psalm. We have an example in Sodom and Gomorrah. But not where this one takes a whole new dimension. Is that this real estate from the Atlantic to the Pacific will be uninhabitable by humans. It'll be a nature park, a wild nature park. And even in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, no one can come in here, salvage anything. There'll be salvageable stuff, treasures, things that are buried that didn't get wrecked. There would be an opportunity to come in, and people could, if they were free to in the millennium, clear the land. Christ is going to get rid of all the pollution we put down on this earth. All the crap in the soil and the water and the air. He's going to clean all that up. Because we've trashed his footstool. And those who destroy the earth, I will destroy. We have not been good stewards of our environment because of greed and other factors. Even the air we breathe. The water we drink. What's in that tap water? In some places, it's so bad, it's not even funny. Well, when you dump tons of chemicals on an orchard to keep the bugs off of the apples, and the people in a particular town noted that there is just an outbreak of breast cancer among the women, all out of proportion to anywhere else, up in a state like Connecticut, it's because all that's going down in the water table. All this stuff. We got a nuclear plant that got wrecked out there in Japan, and it's pumping all this stuff in the Pacific. The environment is really in a bad way. And this is a part of living at the end. The end is worse than I could have ever imagined, obviously. I couldn't have imagined some of the craziness that's going on. The moral mess up that's and all the stuff. But you could have seen the seeds in it a long time ago. You give these people a special place and they're going to do this stuff. You give them a special control over the financial system and everything else is in trouble. And we didn't kill that monster. The Federal Reserve System and the international banks and the thing, we didn't do it. So they're behind this. And they're behind this new world order, establishing this and doing this stuff. All these big officials we've had in the United States, so many of them. Council on Foreign Relations. They don't have American interests at heart. American sovereignty. Sovereignty? The devil doesn't want nations. He doesn't want distinct ethnic groups around. He wants a big, put everything in a blender and come out with what it is we got. He doesn't want this. That's what they're reckoning in Europe. And some Europeans are fighting back. They like their culture. They like their ethnic traditions from back. And not all of them are bad. But they're bringing all these people from Africa and elsewhere, and they're dumping them in there, and there is crime, and there's everything going on. Disease. This isn't an accident. Nations could put this down in a minute. All they got to do is send their military, trained military out there, and deal with these people. First of all, don't even let them in. But with open borders, you got an influx of all this mess. And America is loaded with all these people who have come in here. And in the day of wrath, they'll be like women. They'll wish they were in Taiwan or wherever they came from. Okay. The rapture generation began with the establishment of Israel as a national entity in 1948, May 14th to be exact. Israel becomes a nation for the first time in all of since 70 AD, since I just mentioned that deal in Hebrews 10:25. Israel gets booted out of their land in complete accordance with their law of Moses. You do not behave yourself on this land I've given you. You continue with this, and the final straw is, I will evict you from the promised land, and it won't be fun. He did it three times. He used the Assyrians to take the northern kingdom out. He used the Babylonians to take the southern kingdom out. 70 years later, they reestablished the second commonwealth, second experience as a nation, with those people that volunteered to travel to a wrecked land with no temple, no city. Everything is just under the rules were this. When you're evicted, no one else is going to come in and make this place pretty. It's going to be a testament to my wrath. Gentiles might have wanted to have come in there and cleared the swamps and got everything nice again, but they didn't, because Christ controls history. And this is in accordance with what it says. So they rebuild the land, and we go down to the time of Jesus, and they're in another form of reversionism. Salvation by keeping the law, not by faith in the coming Messiah. Arguably, that was worse than the one where they were out with all this mess of idolatry. 70 AD comes. The Romans administer the fifth cycle, the third and final time it will happen to Israel. Israel continues as a dispersed, and in the prophecies, Israel, I am your shepherd, and what shepherds do not do with sheep is scatter them. Good shepherds do not scatter their sheep, but he scattered them. I'll scatter them into every nation. I will push them into every nation on earth. So you'll find historically Jews in every, even in the Far East. I saw them in Israel. They were Asiatic, but they were Jews. And so in every nation, they were scattered. Africa, all the continents, all over. And their DNA will prove that they're Jews. All you got to do is check it. Prove that they're Jewish. There may be people claiming to be Jews who are not. Well, that's another story. Then what are they? Gentiles. You know, masquerading as Jews. But I'm talking about legitimate Jews where you can do the DNA. I told you the DNA thing that scientists did. They weren't trying to prove the Bible. They care less about the Bible. But the Jews that were in the ghettos in Germany around the World War II era, and these people, they intermarried a lot with cousins because they were confined to ghettos. They checked their DNA. They determined that they came from one of four women. Four female ancestors. I wonder who they are. Can maybe help me with that? It was the four wives, the four women of Jacob. That's just beautiful. Not two. Four. Jacob had four wives all at once. Duck. Got one he didn't want because they slipped her in on his wedding night and he thought it was the other one. How can you do that? Don't have a candle? See what you look like. But that's how God sets people up when they're acting stupid. He just sets them up. But he lived with it. And took the one, and he said, go to old uncle. I'll give you Rachel too. I know that's the one you preferred. I'll give you Rachel too. But you just got to work for me for another 7 years. I'm such a good guy. Jacob didn't know where to go, and so they had the baby wars, which meant once he was married to these two, each one of them had a maid, and it became a contest between Leah and Rachel, see who could give Jacob the most male children. Well, Rachel was losing. Leah got pregnant, boom, boom. Rachel just eating her lunch. So she says, you go sleep with my maid. So I gets another one. Oh, I got a child. Boy, I'm in the race now. Leah says, I can do that too. These are the people that you admire in the Bible, right? The great ones. Because Jacob turned out to be a great one. It was not a pretty road he walked, but he turned out to be a great one. That's the funny part about doctrine. That's what I like to make people understand. It's not some little picture-perfect little believer that comes in, sits down, does everything right. It's not that simple. We got crazy people that are positive. We do. None of them are nice people like you. I hope some of you can learn to laugh someday. There's funny stuff in the Bible. It ought to cause you to give you a smile. And it ought to encourage you spiritually. Man, he made it. I can make it. So, the Jews are scattered all among the nations. You know what God says in the last days? I'm going to regather you. I scattered you all over. I'm going to bring you back to the land. And it's a process. It isn't an overnight, boom, you're there. It's a process. And the reason I'm doing it is not because you people are righteous. You are not righteous out there to this day. I'm bringing you back because I'm tired of the constant talk of the nations making fun of, scoffing that land is Israel's. By divine mandate to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I promise you this land in perpetuity. That doesn't mean I can't kick you out of it, but ultimately you're going to be there. It's the promised land. It's real estate, and no other nation was promised real estate in perpetuity. So I don't care what nations have occupied the Holy Land. The last one to get kicked out of there, had a mandate over it, was the Brits. The Turks were in there. All these other people were in there. But still the Promised Land. Mark Twain visited it back in the 1800s. You know, he was just, he had some good points, but I don't even know if he's a believer. But he said, I went to the Holy Land. It was dismal. It was the awfulest place. That's right. That's right, Mark Twain, because God said it would be. In accordance with Scripture, it won't be a nice place. It will be undeveloped, just trashy. Doesn't mean nobody lived there. There was Arabs living in Jerusalem and all this, but it was seedy and trashy. And I'm going to bring you back from all the nations. And so we've had a constant movement of Jews from different nations. Back in the day, we heard about the Ethiopian Jews. We heard about the Jews from, Yemen. They're small people, okay? The Yemenites are not big people. They're short people. Brought them back. Brought the ones out of Ethiopia in Operation Magic Carpet. Airlifted them. They came out of Russia. And you know, cold Russia, we associate with cold. And they settled in the Philistine coastline. They like the beach. Tired of Russia, I'm going to go to the beach. And as I said, I saw Asian Jews. I saw European Jews. There were all kinds of restaurants that were the different ethnic group. Spanish. So they're back. And you can go check out the current statistics on the population of the Jews in the land versus out of the land. There are still more Jews in the United States, numerically. They're basically concentrated in the big cities, like New York and elsewhere. But they're all around the United States. A bunch of them are going to go back. Some already have. To this little tiny country right now, the mandate was for a bigger territory, but they'll expand that later. But it's about as big as, I think, the state of New Jersey. And that's not a big state. But they're there. And they got all these enemies around them, and sometimes they're their own worst enemy. Because they're stupid. And devoid of knowledge. They're into all kinds of evil. They go, you know, they're into Masonic stuff. They got these, all this stuff. But this is all going to change. There's a new movement in Israel now where Jews are coming to Christ based on evangelization in the streets with Isaiah 53. You go to synagogue every day, you read all the books in the Bible. Well, why do you skip Isaiah 53? Why all of a sudden do we start skipping Isaiah 53? Isn't it worthy of being read? I didn't know that was true. That they somehow just, we don't want that chapter. And then puts it right in front of him and said, who do you think this is talking about? And then we'll segue over into the Daniel prophecy where it says that the prince, the Messiah, will be cut off and he will come. So we have a time frame for this. In other words, it's not something yet out in the future. We can set the time frame for it. Who do you think that sounds like? And that's where they're bringing him to Yeshua or the Messiah or Jesus Christ. And they're getting saved. And it's not a small number. You can find this out online. It's not a small number. So this polarization is occurring. Of course, the funny part is they're church age believers and don't know it, apparently. And they're going to get raptured out. So we're going to have to start all over again with evangelization of the Jews. But the rapture generation continues from 1948, and a generation is 70 to 80 years. So if you add 80 to 48, you get 2028. You subtract 7, you get 2021. That's one of the ways to lock in on this timeline thing. Another way to lock in on it is the the fact that in 33 AD was the 7-year cycle count. Count 7 years all the way up. And you'll come to the year 2000, 777, and you can pick every year between 33 AD and find when it's a 7 and work your way all the way through, and you'll come to the year 2000. So this century, it's very easy to keep track. 2000, 7, 14, 21. God's into the number games too. That kind of numbers. So when we talk about the rapture generation, so the verse that we have here in 10:35, we taught Hebrews many moons ago. Therefore, he says, I read the wrong verse. Just a second. There's a lot of exhortations. First of all, we're to hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who is promised is faithful. That was verse 23. 24 in Hebrews 10. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. What can we do to encourage each other to make application? You people encourage me from time to time to make application, whether intending to do it or not. How you can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Love is a mental attitude dynamic of the filling of the Spirit. It's not the love that... The human love can be nice and it's there and it can even be genuine. And that's fine. But we're talking about agape love. Genuine love that believers are supposed to have for each other, which is reflected in the way they treat each other. It's a mental attitude of the filling of the Spirit. It is not a natural love that we can generate no matter how great it is. It's agape love. It's the filling of the Spirit love. I can love you and not agree with you. I don't have any ill will against you as a believer. Your actions may, that's way off the base. But it's agape love. And good deeds. I've noticed historically that when people leave, other people step up and fill in. And I've also noticed that there are some believers that have just warmed a seat for years. They don't do around. Now, good deeds doesn't just mean get on the property, mow the grass, do that too, and all other things, and work in the prep school, and all the little different aspects we have. Some deeds are not seen and should not be seen. Because you're going to step up and make financial contribution, and we have to keep that private as much as possible. Those are good deeds. What can you do? It doesn't have to be something big. I just ask you to pray about it. How to stimulate to love and divine good production, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is a habit of some. I got a bunch of people, that's now their habit. Do not forsake that. But encouraging each other, one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, for them in 70 AD, this book was written probably around 68 or so. They were on the cusp of the Romans are coming. And you need to get all the doctrine, get straight, because it's going to be big upheaval time. Now, for us, we're going to be out of here. I mean, we talk it all the time. I just can't see how this is going to last much longer. Well, no, I can't either. All the prophecies, everything point to the fact, and there's other things too that are secondary or tertiary that point to this can't go on much longer. What they're trying to do with technology, I don't even want to think about that stuff. They want to put us all in a kind of a deal where we are subject to technology. What they call 5G is coming, big towers, high frequency stuff, communication. We've heard about wanting to chip people. That Bill Gates guy, he's contributing money to ends like kids in a schoolroom can have a bracelet on so they can see their reaction to what they're being presented with, whether it's good or not. What are we, animals? We want to see if you're favorable to this thing. I wouldn't wear any of their damn bracelets. I'm in a classroom. Well, you won't go to school then. Well, fine. What is this? But the sheep will just go along with it. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. It's interesting, some of the stuff that's coming out. And with artificial intelligence and all these other things they're trying to do technologically to kill our volition and turn us into zombies. Willing zombies for the system. I know it sounds Orwellian, because it is. I know it may sound weird, but if you do some reading, you're seeing what they're planning, and this is on a fast track. Just keep praying against this stuff, and pray for us, and pray for yourself, and that we're going, because God is not going to let the righteous be victimized beyond a point with regard to this stuff. Technology, how it can be used. If the Hitlers and the Stalins had this kind of stuff, to control the masses. You got to get smart and have some discernment. I'm to the point where I don't care what's on TV. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what I'm doing. I don't like the crap. I don't like the ads. I don't like any of these dummy celebrities running around. I don't like any of this stuff. I'm almost totally sick of sports. Bunch of men out there giving each other concussions. The new gladiator stuff. You need to ask yourself the question, is Jesus Christ impressed with this? Is this what he wants a young man to be doing because he's got some talent? That's a Christian? No, he wants him in Bible class. He wants him to forsake all of that. Like Moses forsook Egypt. See, that's where you get understanding. Moses forsook a big pile of money and power and everything was at his fingertips. But he didn't want that any longer. He wanted to have God at his fingertips. That's what he wanted. He said, to hell with it. In his mind. And then he had his little gimmick as to get out of it, and it blew up in his face. But that's okay. God lets us make mistakes. He was looking to the reward. He figured it's better than the touted treasures of Egypt. Where are they today? In museums. What's left of them? What grave robbers and others didn't haul off. It's in museums. And you can see the wealth of some, you know, prince. Big deal. It's all nothing. It's all vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It's a waste of time apart from a relationship with God. Now, God can put a believer in a high position, give him wealth, give him this and that. He's done that historically. It's probably not appropriate today. That would probably wreck you in 2 minutes. Well, I'm going to try. No. Please, I don't want to see the end of that. I'd give some to the church. You give some to the church. Well, thank you. So, just stay in Bible class. You got so much to gain. The world can't see this, because if they could, they'd be here. They're completely in the blackout of the soul on this stuff. That's why they're sleepwalking into the tribulation. Now, what all kind of strange things are going to occur between now and what I'm projecting in the fall of 2021? How old will you be then? You can add that up real quick. Don't worry about, well, I never got to grow up and have kids. Somebody's got to be in your shoes or we'd never have the rapture. So don't worry about that part. That part will all be forgotten. In it. The minute you get a resurrection body, it'll be like, who cares? Huh? You can have it. So, we will pick up here tomorrow, Tuesday. All right, be good. Apply doctrine. Do the right thing. God will bless you. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.